It's like Super Bowl for gay talk.
It's election day.
Flip that house.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another special episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio, where you can listen live every Monday, except today. Today's Tuesday, Election Day, November 6, 2018. And you can listen at 6:30 p.m. usually, but today we're doing a special episode. It's 9:55 p.m. on the East Coast, and I'm here with my very amazing co-host, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all, Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome to the election episode.
That was a hot mess.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it's okay. We can get cursive-y today.
Yeah, today we can get cursive-y.
We are going to.
Yes, it's going to happen.
Today's going to be a little bit more on not the usual format, right? We're obviously talking about a lot of the things that we're seeing coming through TV, as both of my boys are glued to the TV behind me.
Yup.
There's a lot of
Yes, Rachel!
Rachel's amazing.
They won't let me watch my CNN. I had it on my laptop the second I opened it up.
Well, you can still put it up and keep it small like I do right here.
Oh, I could have something. I want to do that because I got to see my John King.
Yeah,
I got to see John King on election night.
So I'll teach you how to do that when we come back for the
shoot.
Second.
For Kansas
the
governor. We're getting yes. there.
So we have a lot of really good predictions so far. They have called a couple of races in a lot of areas.
And I also have a really great photo from my voting, just saying.
Me too. So yeah, we all went out. We voted. We did our patriotic duty. We've done so far what, you know, people have, you know, fought and died for us to be able to have the right to freedom of speech and our constitution and our constitutional right to vote. That's very important.
Can we talk about the freaking lines today?
It was amazing to see a lot of young voters. There was voters in the state of Nevada. There was voters in the state of New Mexico, where the lines were reportedly three times the length of what they were for the presidential elections in 2016.
People are coming out
because
packs today. They heard the message and they followed through with it. Mm-hmm.
What happened was Trump got elected.
Exactly, which is why some people are calling it a referendum on the president. And I was listening to NPR today, and there's this one woman. She was an older woman, and she said she got to the poll. I forget where it was. I think it might have been in Virginia.
She was crying?
No, she got to take the poll, and she was waiting outside for about 30 minutes or so, because she said the line was massive and it was full of young people. And she said it was the best 30-minute wait of her life.
That's
she just
awesome.
Loved to see that. And I was like, that's such a great story.
It's beautiful to see. And like, I remember that, for example, when Barack Obama got elected, or when he was running, there was a 102-year-old woman who was voting and waited in line forever.
16. We have dropped from 17 to 16.
Okay, so
for the house.
If you guys are not familiar with what it is that she's just blabbing right now,
it's going to happen all night.
It's going to happen. We still want to hear your story, but
in order for Democrats to be able to gain control of the House, they needed to get 23 seats. So far, we've gotten enough seats turned over that all we need right now is 16 seats to win to be able to gain control of the House.
And the next poll closes in about 2 minutes and 20 seconds.
In four different states.
And we're about 4 minutes in, so we're going to be
Senate control, the Dems need 3 to gain.
So we're going to be doing these segments in about 10 or 15 minute increments. So you're going to be hearing a 15 minute part of the show. We'll go on break. We'll get more information and data for you.
And we have a couple fun stories as well.
Yeah, of course we do. So why don't we talk about a little bit, can we, about the winners that we have thus far, the elections that were called? Can we do that?
There's a projection right behind you right now.
Oh, it's coming now.
Kansas.
Oh my God,
has turned blue.
Yes.
At 51 to 41%. Laura Kelly is projected to be the next governor of Kansas. So congratulations,
and they
Laura.
Are at 66% in for voters.
That's
so
right.
That's pretty great.
Excellent. Amazing. That's fantastic.
All right, so we've got some wins. I will let Chris read off the first name because, you know, it's all about him.
Obviously.
Bernie.
That's right.
She's back, everybody.
Yeah, well, Bernie Sanders belongs in the Senate. We all know that.
Yeah.
It's his house. Yeah. So Bernie Sanders, of course.
It's his house.
It's his house. Bernie Sanders is going to remain in the Senate because the people of Vermont absolutely love him.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, another one that's returning from the state of Massachusetts, the great Diane Warren.
Mm-hmm.
She was reelected. You know that the president has...
Diane Warren?
Excuse me.
Try that again.
I know. I'm surprised I didn't call him out on that.
Maybe her middle name is Diane. Who knows? Elizabeth Warren.
I can't. What the fuck just happened?
I can't believe that went right over my head. Oh, we're down to 15 for the House now. Continue.
Oh, hello.
All right. So 15 seats left to be flipped in order for us to have control of the House. Well, Democrats, that is. So Elizabeth Warren got reelected. As we know, the president has made it a point to make fun of her indigenous or Native American heritage that she claims that she has. And, you know, it just really shows you that people in the state of Massachusetts really do love Elizabeth Warren. You know, she's been a senator in that state for quite some time. But we also have, for example, Hillary Clinton's running mate for the 2016 presidential elections, Tim Kaine, who won in Virginia. Again, so he will be senator
yes.
again. And we have a senator that was called in the state of Ohio, Sherrod Brown. I believe he was defending his seat and he held it. We also have Donna Shalala. She's the National House seat for, do we know what state she was from?
Hold on. I'm looking up something else. What? Who are we asking about?
Donna Shalala.
Donna, move on while I look it up.
All right, so Thomas Caper, he's from Delaware. He's from the Senate. That particular race was called for him. We also have Angus King, the senator from Maine. He's been a senator there for quite a few terms now.
Donna is from Florida, everybody. Florida.
All right. So this is one of the flip seats in the House, right? Oh, no, she's in the Senate. Oh, God, I'm so confused.
I did not do
there is literally... so much information just coming through. And right now, I'm looking at some of the live broadcasts from MSNBC. And right now, the Democrats have 39 seats in the Senate. The GOP currently has 47.
She's in the 14 House.
Undecided seats that are left to be claimed by a victor of either party, which could possibly determine also who runs the chamber in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
We also have Chris Murphy from our wonderful state of Connecticut.
I love Chris Murphy.
I do too.
I took so much pride in filling in the circle for his name today.
And Chris
Me
Himes.
Me too!
Chris Himes? Is it Chris?
Oh, yeah.
Jim Himes. He's a representative.
He's a representative, yes.
I can't remember what district he's from, but he is so sexy.
He's a good guy, too. Oh, I like listening to him when he goes on CNN.
So we've got Bob Menendez, which had a lot of very controversial things happen in the past 2 years to him. A lot of ethical questions. Also won a re-election in the Senate in the state of New Jersey. Ralph Northman in Virginia. He is projected to be the governor of Virginia, and of course, the attorney general hearing in the state of Virginia, that was also called. Bob Casey, U.S. Senator for Pennsylvania. So there's a lot of people that already know what their fate
did
is going to be.
Did you say Jennifer Wexton?
I did not.
U.S. Senate, Virginia.
So Jennifer Wexton from Virginia. So these are all people that already know exactly what's going to happen and
project it.
Well, it's projected.
They're
and
calling for.
Typically, projections are solid. You know, I can't remember a time. There's been very few times in where a projected winner has been rescinded.
Right, exactly. They wait until they're sure that this is what's going to happen. And it is important to point out now that just moments ago...
Oh, looks like we have another one. House District 7 in Pennsylvania, Susan Wilde. Looks like we have another Democrat.
That's even right. Better. Good reporting there, Trish.
Thank you.
It is important to point out now that polls just moments ago closed in Iowa, Montana, Nevada, and Utah. So we'll be expecting more outcomes. And
the next
polls close at 11 o'clock mm-hmm. p.m. So we have just under an hour for more results to come in. And the chances for the Democratic takeover of the House on MSNBC has gone from leaning Democrat to likely Democrat, and they're projecting at a 95% chance that the Democrats are going to control take control of the House.
So I remember when we did the last election episode and we were so mm-hmm. excited when everything started, and that's how I'm feeling right now. And I want to literally put out there that I'm trying to keep it even keeled.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super excited. The polls are showing some positive stuff. We still have a lot to come in.
It's very questionable in the Senate.
Senate is not questionable. The Senate's turning.
Heidi Heitkamp right now is having a really, really big battle. Now, mind you, she is battling a state right now that just the Supreme Court in that state ruled against her her attempt to get Native people to be able to vote. So what ends up happening, that people in this particular state that live in reservations in the state, reservations don't have physical addresses.
Right, exactly.
And
exactly.
So these laws that were enacted in the state or passed as a result of what they were expecting impacted the Native American community in that state because they have no actual address. So you need a physical address. They're not taking P.O. boxes like they used to.
Mm-hmm.
So this entire demographic, which has been of huge support of hers, cannot vote.
Yeah, and it's complete and utter voter suppression.
Of course.
Complete and utter voter suppression. You have that, and you have gerrymandering. There's such a dirty system out there that people try to make sure that their party wins on the dirtiest of ways, non-democratically. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just incredible to see some of the results that are coming in. I'm going to try to remain optimistic. And, you know, I don't want to end up having, like, right, we're all so happy and energetic during this first 15-minute segment. And then when we come back, you know, like 2016, as every 15-minute segment came by, we were just like, you could tell that our energy was turning. I'm hoping that's not what we're going to end up with tonight.
Well, it looks like Mitt Romney's winning Utah.
Yeah.
That
was expected.
That was expected.
That was expected.
Fuck off.
You know, I mean, but I will tell you this, though. So Mitt Romney's running for senator, right?
And he's replacing gained senator.
Well, no, he's replacing Orrin Hatch.
Right.
So they haven't really gained anything. Orrin Hatch was a Republican.
Right. No, it's a good point. It wasn't a gain, but Mitt Romney's back to the political stage.
So he is, but you got to understand, I don't hate Mitt Romney. I don't like him, but I don't hate him. And you got to remember that Mitt Romney was also the governor of the state of Massachusetts.
So can I give some updates about our
that I did not know
about Connecticut and the governor race?
Yeah. What's going on?
So. Right now, I've got some county information for everybody.
Yeah.
We are still obviously waiting on a percentage. We are about 48% in.
For which race?
For governor.
Governors.
Okay.
At New Haven County, obviously, Stefanowski's up 51.7%.
What the fuck?
And then we have Lamont at 45.3%.
What's the percentage of the city of New Haven or New Haven County?
This is what I'm saying right now. New Haven. So I fucked that up. So not... Surprisingly, we have Stefanowski at 51.7 and we have Lamont at 45.3.
But what percent of the vote is in for New Haven?
Let me see if I have that.
She has to look it up.
Mm-hmm.
10.9%.
10.9%?
No, 10.9 precincts are reporting at this point.
Why
so
isn't she ready?
Yeah, girl, you gotta be ready for today. We gotta be the first to share this news. We gotta beat MSNBC.
Go fuck off.
NBC.
All right, go fuck off.
So we're still watching the Connecticut race. It's too close to call. We're hoping things work.
Hartford. Obviously Hartford County, Ned is ahead by a lot. He's at 52 and Bob is at 41 in Bridgeport. He is at 63 and Bob is at 35. So
I think that Ned is going to do well.
Yeah,
I think
overall, he's at 47.2 and Bob is currently at 48%. So we have more coming in. 18.3% of votes have been counted. So we have plenty to go.
We're going to have a late night.
Well, it's going to be a late night because think about it. California doesn't, the polls there don't close until 11. Right, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Mm-hmm.
And California has 52
districts. Right.
52 House representatives and two senators, mm-hmm. obviously Kamala Harris and the other senator. Who's the other senator there? It's Kamala Harris and
Feinstein.
Dianne Feinstein, of course. We were just talking about her during the last episode.
I think we're at 15 seats now.
Heidi Heitkamp is out. North Dakota Senate. Kevin Kramer just beat her.
So they just gained another seat. And again, this was North Dakota. We were just talking about this. Mm-hmm. She lost the opportunity to gain the vote for the Native American people there because of the fact that they don't have an address. So this is what you find, or this is what you get when you have blatant voter suppression. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing that you can do because the Supreme Court there just didn't want to, you know, side with the people. And this is, it's pretty bad.
And so, she just lost her seat.
So we're hoping that with this loss, we're going to gain Beto. Right?
That would be fantastic.
Beto is, that's another race that people are watching closely. Also, Andrew Gillum in Florida is another race that people are also watching.
I'm hoping so hard for Gillum to come out with a win and for Ted Cruz to just go home.
You know, so with that, I think that that's pretty much all we have for this first 15-minute segment. We're going to take in a little bit more.
Do we want to talk about a story real quick, or do we want to just, like, go to break?
No, we're just going to go to break. We'll come back and then cover a few more races and then jump into a story.
Is he yelling at me?
Yes, I am.
He is, but I agree with
you. Because you're nasty.
So I'm yelling at you, too.
So, so right now, you know, that's where we stand. We're going to have more numbers for you. We're also going to have more stories because Trish is insisting that we cover some stories.
I have some good ones.
Why not? Yeah.
I know. I'm messing. I'm messing with him.
I just want another beer. That's the only reason I'm advocating for a break.
Yeah. So anyway, and so we'll be back. Stick around. All right, guys. Well, we are back. We took about a 15-minute break, and then we had to come immediately back because
Trish is so excited.
It. She is. We've got some great news. Well, great news and not so great news, but we've got really good news coming out of the state of Colorado. And that being said, I'm going to let Trish take over because she just needs to have this moment.
All right. So we have the first ever gay governor elected into office in the state of Colorado.
Okay, stop. You need to do that again because you totally did something I wasn't expecting. You're so calm and collected. That's not you. Do it.
It's because I was looking for something. Oh my God, guys. We have the first ever gay governor elected into office in the state of Colorado, and I'm super fucking excited. Jared Polis. Polis. I think I'm saying his name right. I hope I am, but we have somebody coming on to talk about it. But that being said, how fucking exciting. The first gay mayor governor in America. Wait, mayor? Governor in America. Yes. In America.
Oh my God.
And
he's Jewish.
That's history breaking. Oh, it's history breaking. We've had gay mayors, we've had lesbian mayors, but we have never in the history of the United States had an openly gay governor.
I think the best part about the whole thing is that he didn't run on a campaign about his homosexuality. He just ran on a campaign about the people and what he wanted to do for the people.
So the good thing is that we're going to actually be talking to one of your friends that lives in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So you're going to give me the phone number, and we're going to dial it now. So bear with us. Mm-hmm. And we're super excited.
Oh, he also supports marijuana legalization, so everybody will get that oil that we talked about last night.
Yeah, mm-hmm. CBD.
CBD oil.
All right, so let me dial this in.
Hello.
Brett.
Hi.
Hi. You're on the line with Tom, Chris, and your one and only Nick or Trish from Gay Talk.
Oh,
hello. And we lost it.
Brett.
Oh,
honey, it looks like we're probably losing you. You may not have good reception where you are. Maybe you can text Nick a landline, possibly, that we can call?
I don't have a landline.
No, there she is.
Are you guys...
Okay.
It's like, Tom, it's 2018. No one has a landline.
I don't know. Walk to a payphone or something.
So
it's also 2018. There are no payphones.
Oh,
you're letting your 30-something or whatever's showing.
She's nasty.
So, Britt, anyway, tell us, what just happened in Colorado?
Colorado just elected the first openly gay governor in U.S. history.
That is amazing. And how does that make you feel as someone who lives in Colorado?
I'm so proud. Yeah, Jared Polis. I'm so excited. And you know what's so funny? I didn't even know he was gay. Like, he's been my representative for so long. Like, he was in the U.S. House, and it's just been such a non-issue, which when you think about it is really cool. You know, it's like, it's just so cool.
That's what I'm reading too. I was like super surprised because I hadn't really heard about this. Maybe I had, or maybe we talked about it, but I'm not sure. But I had no idea that we had somebody who was homosexual running for governor in Colorado. And now we have the first ever American gay governor. And he's Jewish.
So
you see what happens when you legalize marijuana? Anything is possible. Anything is possible.
Don't say that because that's the Republicans true. Will stop every yes. state from doing it. So
oh
don't say
God,
that.
Oh my God, no kidding.
Britt, so let me ask you, do you know if he's single? I mean, does Trish have a chance of becoming first lady?
He is not single. He has a partner named Marlon and two children, actually.
Oh, wow.
He has two kids. Yay. He was the first gay parent in the U.S. House. I didn't even know that. I've been Googling him. Yeah.
That is
so super cool.
That is absolutely amazing. So you have your first governor, your first LGBTQ member of the community that's governor in any state in the union. He just got elected today. Do we know what the percentage margin was? Was it a landslide? Was it a huge difference from from the person that was running against him?
It was a pretty big margin. I believe, but let me look it up. I think it was, it's 50, almost 52% to 45%.
Oh, wow. So that's pretty cool.
When Colorado wants gay, they get gay.
And Colorado is kind of a purple state. Like, you know, absolutely. we have seven seats, and we have three that are always Republican, one that's kind of swing in the House, and then three that are always Democrat. So it's cool to see that even in a purple state, you know, we elected a gay governor. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
So because you guys believed in what this man stood for, it didn't have to do with his sexuality. Of course, that's awesome that you were accepting of his sexuality, but this man stood up for all things that most Coloridians?
Coloradans? I don't know.
Coloradans stand for and believe, and that's why they supported this man, regardless of who he goes to sleep with at night.
Well, Britt, you did say that he served in several high positions in your state. He was a House representative.
Mm-hmm. And he was on the Board of Education for a long time, too. Yeah, he's been around for a while.
So this man has obviously been in the public eye and supporting the public, spectrum for quite a while. So people know who he is. People are familiar with his work. So therefore his sexuality isn't an issue. They know what he can produce.
I do. Want
Well, I mean, I've known who he was. Sorry, Nick.
No, take it.
Do you want to go?
Okay. No, take it.
I've known who he was for like 6 years, you know, or more. And I didn't even know he was gay. That's like, it was such a non-issue, you know, it's never been brought up, which is so cool because when somebody who's heterosexual is, you know, running, it's not like, oh, he's straight, you know, it's just a non-issue, which is really cool.
I have two questions. Did you know I was gay?
No. Oh my God.
If you didn't know, I'm
only
hanging
known
up
you for
right
like
now.
20 years.
And second, I do want to say one thing before I ask you the second question. So his sexual orientation didn't actually have any significant attention from his Republican opponent during the whole process.
No.
However,
no. And that actually, I know. I mean, I guess maybe I'm a little bit of a cynic. I always think, you know, the negative ad campaigns, like, I'm kind of surprised that didn't come up. But it didn't. There was no negative ad campaigns about him being gay.
But,
which, I mean,
that being said, there
be.
Were some homophobic That's bumper great. stickers that popped up.
Were there?
Yes, there were.
I didn't know that.
During this whole process in the state. But my question for you, before we hang up, because I know you have to go to bed. How
I'm
are
an
you
old
feel-
person.
We all are. How are you feeling overall about this election and Democrats taking control and or a change in our House and Senate?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously I'm very anti-Trump. I think most sensible people probably are. So I'm really hopeful that the House can take over. It's been looking a little dicey, but it's looking a little better now. And did you know that the first Native American lesbian woman was elected to the House from Kansas?
I did not know that.
Yeah, I was just watching. I guess we get a lot of like Western state information. A lesbian Native American woman was elected to the House today. That's so cool.
That's amazing. Awesome.
So well, I'm
for sharing
really
that first here on Gay Talk.
Sure.
You heard it first on Gay Talk.
Of course they did.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Remember that?
Yeah. Paul hated it.
So, Britt, you know, I really don't want to keep you. I know you got to get to bed, but I want to thank you for calling and just giving us, you know, a firsthand perspective.
And
of
thank
what,
Colorado.
Yeah, and the state of Colorado for electing their first gay governor. That's amazing.
It's so awesome.
So we need to get him on the show, by the way.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. I'll let you work on that, Trish.
Fine.
Fine.
I love you, Brett.
I love you, too. You guys are awesome.
You have a great night, all right? Thank you so much.
All
and
right.
We thank you and your fellow people from Colorado, because I don't know what else to call you.
Coloradians.
I think you're Coloradans. I'm not
Coloradans.
Sure. I was a nutmegger for so long. I don't know.
Well, you have yourself a fine evening.
All right. You guys too.
Thank you, dear.
Love you, Rip. Bye.
Love you too. Bye.
All right, so that was Nick's friend Britt from Colorado, just giving us the fantastic news that we have the first ever gay governor in the entire United States elected to the governorship of the great state of Colorado, which again.
And he's Jewish.
And he's Jewish.
That's what happens when you legalize marijuana. So, you know, just food for thought. Anyway, so we do have good news and bad news. Which one do you want to go with first?
Do the bad news first.
All right. So we were taking a break. We were assimilating information that was being fed to us. Chris is on CNN. I am on MSNBC. Nick was on Politico. We are trying to get, yes, I know.
Transparency is important.
We're trying to get Fox on the other screen here that we have in the studio that normally we use for Skype calls and stuff. And they called the Senate race in the state of Texas. And unfortunately, Beto O'Rourke lost.
They're projecting that Ted Cruz will continue to hold his seat on the Senate.
And with that call, unfortunately, that still leaves the Senate in Republican control, which means Democrats will not have majority in the Senate. However, more good news is that NBC, I believe it was ABC, or I believe NBC or ABC, one of the two. I can't remember. This is so.
Well, MSNBC is on right behind you, and this is the one that's saying that.
So MSNBC said that ABC had projected that the House will be taken by Democrats.
Right.
They will have
NBC News, yes.
NBC News.
Democrats take the House and Republicans keep the Senate.
So with that, that means that we will have a majority in the House. So that now we have what we call a perfect balance, right? We have checks and balances in place as of come January. It will be a different dynamic. Also, Democrats are already announcing that one of the first things that they're going to do is they're going to actually start asking for Donald Trump to actually submit his tax returns.
They're going to request them.
So, and just so you know, I'm looking up Fox News right now, and right now they are greater than 95% control of the House for Democrats and 95% control of the Senate for Republicans. So,
okay. That's Fox.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, but it's Fox, but it's
no, but
you
it's
know,
important.
Aligning.
To look at,
everybody's
that,
aligning,
right? Exactly. Okay. That's what it is. We're here for the facts tonight.
So those are two amazing developments for Democrats, right? Because we didn't think coming into this, we were expecting this blue wave, and unfortunately,
I'm gonna tell you one thing though. From Ohio to Maine, it is fucking blue, bitch.
Which is amazing. It is amazing to see. This is the kind of feeling that we wanted in 2016, right? We don't have to win them all, but we have to win enough to be able to look at a president, hashtag not mine, and say, no, motherfucker. You might want to do that. You might have your peeps in the Senate that are going to let you do that, but the peeps in the House are going to be like, pump the brakes.
And there's still more to come. I mean, the next polls close in 8 minutes, over 8 minutes.
So California is, I believe it's going to be at 11 o'clock. Yeah, it's in about 8 minutes. California closes. The state of Oregon, state of Washington, I believe Nevada.
I'm not sure.
Do they go within that time frame?
I feel like Nevada's already been decided.
Maybe New Mexico. But either way, you know, there's still a lot more to come, a lot of more information. But I believe that the two best things that came out of this particular 15-minute segment that we're on is that, you know, we have our first ever LGBTQ community member as a gay governor in the state of Colorado.
And he's Jewish.
And he's Jewish.
And he's married and he has kids.
And if you look, we're not going to get all results tonight. If we're looking at the Senate race in Mississippi between Cindy Hyde-Smith, Republican, and Mike Epsi, Democrat, they're actually going to be advancing to a runoff on November 27th.
So
exactly. So we're not going to get results from every single race today. Georgia governor race, it's still too close to call. The Republican camp is holding a lead right now, but it's still too close to call. And as you know, Oprah and Barack Obama, I believe, were out there really pushing for Abrams in the gubernatorial race in Georgia. So, you know, we still have a lot. There's still a lot to come tonight.
Yeah, we're still also waiting on the results for the Florida race, Gillum, and then the other...
DeSantis,
I believe it was. So, but unfortunately, Beto O'Rourke is out. But I will tell you this. Run for president. Run because you have a platform and you have a unique... There's a uniqueness about
him. And he's
him.
So cute.
And he is. Yeah, he's got big teeth, though.
I don't care
like
about that.
Massive teeth.
Well, big teeth can bite off small hands. So take it to them. Take it to them.
All right, listen. So on that note, unless you guys have anything else
to
add.
No, I think it's good to go.
We're going to sign off for yet another break. Again, we did say that we're doing this in 15-minute
increments. Yeah, we'll be here all night.
And
I'm trying to look up shit.
In our pajamas, just for all you. You can't see us.
Yeah,
we're in our PJs.
So we're going to take another break, and then we'll come back and do another 15-minute segment, probably in another 45 minutes. The live stream is up at digitalstreamradio.com. While we're off the air, I am playing a previously recorded episode, so you'll get a snippet. It's going in and out, and you'll get us coming back live. So just watch us there. If you are listening, know that we are interrupting and coming back, and we'll sort of kind of manage it that way. So stay tuned.
And we're back.
Oh my God. Hi, people. All right. So I do have to
taken from you.
I do have to say, I was going to say hi, welcome back for another 15, but yeah, she got it.
Took it.
I'm gonna be like going in for surgery, and they put that mask over with the funny gas. Is it the funny gas that puts you to sleep? Sleeping gas. Duh.
Laughing gas. Happy gas.
Whatever kind of
dental gas.
Yeah.
Super great drug.
Anal gas.
That's a little different.
No.
Democratic.
We were having a bite to eat and eat. Okay. Oh, first of all, we did cook today. So I made this jasmine rice with some chicken and stuff and
she
veggies.
Did.
It was like a cacciatore.
Yeah, but wasn't it delicious?
It was so good.
Yeah, it was like a cacciatore, chicken cacciatore.
I'm literally picking it out of my teeth right now.
It was that good that I almost want to pick it out of Nick's teeth, but then
that got weird.
Then I remember that got weird. They're Nick's teeth.
So
Cut his mic right now.
I've been in your mouth before. It's fine.
Oh my God.
Cut his mic.
I'm so sorry. So as you can see, a lot has progressed since the last 15-minute segment that we did. So we cooked, we ate. Nick made a dip. Nick, tell us about your dip.
Oh, yeah, of course.
The dip was delicious.
So, obviously, it's the Super Bowl of Gay Talk 2.0, so I had to make a dip. And the only dip I can make that's amazing is my buffalo chicken dip.
A buffalo chicken dip.
Is it good?
It's so fucking good.
Delicious.
It's worth the lactose.
Tom?
I will deal with the toilet tomorrow for it.
It truly was amazing. It was just out of this world. So then,
it still is amazing, so and there's more left.
So, you know, we didn't know how tonight was going to end up, right? We didn't.
We need comfort food?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We had no
comfort
idea
food
how
and booze.
Things...
And healthy food.
we're going to end up. So I said to Nick, Nick, make me a cocktail. And what I got was gas in a cup. And
oh, yeah, no, that was totally my fault.
And then he said, I put a little extra in there. And I'm like, oh, my God, I hope
no,
it's Percocet.
No, that's not what I said.
Is it gas? Let me try it.
What I said was, sorry about that, but there's something... Oh, I did say extra in there.
Extra in there.
Right.
And I'm like, and I said to myself,
oh, hello.
And I said to myself, oh my God, we need to be numb for the possibility that we could have had a worse outcome than what we actually got. So at this point, you know, we already know that we took control of the house. We watched.
Wait, so what did I put in there so that just in case?
Percocet.
Yeah. Everybody's.
That's why it tasted so great.
So your finger's not going to hurt anymore. Why don't you tell us what you did to your
finger,
Christopher?
We are bandaged, but before we do that, I want to say what's going on.
Your ghetto bandage.
I want to say what's going on right now. Claire McCaskill, the Democrat of the Missouri Senate race, she is conceding as we speak to Republican
Josh
Smith.
Hawley.
But in Minnesota.
Josh Hawley. Yes.
Oh my God, cursive is going to be intense.
No, it changed real
Minnesota.
Quick. But Minnesota, yes, Tony Evers is leading.
No, that's Wisconsin.
That's governor.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And we have a Democrat leading in Minnesota for Senate. So that's great.
So just so that you know, Claire McCaskill went against the majority Republican Party in her state and voted against the Kavanaugh nomination. And in doing so, she knew that by saying no, that she was going to lose her seat.
That was going to affect her, yeah.
It was definitely going to lose her seat, and she lost
it.
And it did. But that's the first time that someone, knowing very well that taking a vote like that...
Oh my God, guys.
Yeah, we have some sad news that we have to interrupt right there. In Connecticut, Stefanowski is now at 50%, where Lamont is at 45%. There's still a low percentage of districts that have reported, but it's...
Okay, so New Haven is at 40.6% reporting.
We still have more. It's too close to call that race. We're doing national, local.
But it's important. So,
it is because this is the one. That's the one that I really want to fucking win.
And like at 40%,
what are you looking at me?
Bob Stefanowski is at 81. He's at 53.2%. Whereas Ned Lamont is at 43.6. So
those numbers are showing different when it comes from MSNBC. They were showing 45 to 50.
That's just in New Haven.
What is CNN showing?
I don't have it open because you didn't teach me how to work that side of my thing.
Okay, so you remember that? Remember how we talked? I think you and I, Nick, look at me. You and I talked about this, that there's a point in where Christopher's fine, and then all of a sudden he just goes, boom.
Oh, no, that's the wall.
I think we're getting there.
The wall.
No, he's fine right now.
Yeah. I was like, how dare you?
He's totally fine right now.
Nowhere near the wall. Yes, the wall is there. No.
Well, evidently your finger felt upset otherwise. Tell us about your finger. What happened to your finger?
I got fucked up doing homework the other day. I was typing a paper and I hurt myself. I was typing a paper and I like reached over to like grab something in my closet.
It must have been a man.
When I slipped...
You grabbed that out of your closet, so I just assume.
I was doing ethics. I was being ethical.
Again, actually, that's
perfect.
I was
being ethical and moral and rather philosophical.
He was being ethical and his finger was not.
Well, anywho, I reached over to
grab
something.
All right, it looks like the Florida governor is
going
to win as a Republican. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, we already knew that. We're moving on. So I reached over to grab something out of my closet. And when I slammed the closet door shut, my finger was kind of in there. So it's my ring finger on my left hand is a little black right now.
It's practically like blue.
Yeah, so we decided that Tom and Nick
were broken. It's broken. He walked in. He's like, I don't know. I'm like, Chris, that's broken.
Yeah, I definitely broke my finger.
So we made a makeshift splint with skewers, tape. What do you call that kind of wrap?
Medical tape.
We had medical tape. We had medical gauze. We wrapped the skewers in gauze.
Uh huh.
Taped them. You taped them, and then we put a skewer on either side of his finger, and then wrapped it up. And taped it.
It's quite secure.
Take a picture of that so that we can put it on the Insta.
All right, fine.
So, but, you know, oh, Well, at least it's not his middle finger. But no, so Chris hurt himself. But either way, all right.
It looks like he's flicking me off.
So obviously we're still watching a lot of races local here in Connecticut that affect us directly, right? Governorship being one of them. But for the most part, a lot of our favorite Democratic runners, Rosa DeLauro, you look at Chris Murphy and other senior members of the delegates that represent us in the U.S. Congress have won their seats. So
yeah.
We're super excited about that. And we had mentioned before that the House, we've taken the majority in the House. And there's a lot of really... There's a lot of really good things that are that could come of this, right? Because right now, because the House had control of the Republicans had the control of the House, there was a lot of oversight committees that weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing when it comes to checks and balances,
right?
And investigating and really looking at what do you call that, evidence, right? Because they weren't allowing the opposing party to look at documentation and Democratic-controlled Congress does now, it actually gives the Democrats
only one control of the houses.
In one of the houses, it gives Democrats control of a lot of the congressional committees that do investigations that are allowed to actually subpoena people and can actually say, okay, we need to push to see his tax returns. So
right,
they have the power now to be able to do that.
Right. Which is so important.
And but at not the same only that, time, like everybody keeps saying about checks and balances, but here we are saying we want a blue wave, and here we are saying we want things to be Democratic controlled, but reality is what we want as people is two parties to work together, whether it is Republican or democratically controlled.
Well,
we want
kind of
people to work together.
This sort of kind of does that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't do that. What it does is it gives the Democrats power to say, fuck you, we have the majority.
That's an important power to have.
No, you're right.
Because
you've got
to remember that
two parties. They should be able to work together and find a common ground
on issues that make
sense
for them
to
work together. So
exactly, and that's why we need to eventually be able to move from the two-party system.
All right, guys.
I'm sorry.
A third
he's
party
right.
system
to...
is not what we have today, and it's
no,
not
you're right.
what we're
no,
talking
and
about
it's not
today.
Even a third party
what?
System.
What we're
it's
talking
a six
about
party system. This is something that we need to move.
All right.
Not
All right, Chris.
Not three, it's 4, 5, 6, 7. This is a system that we eventually need to move into.
All right, so I tried to give
Don't
you
even
space
try to
talk,
tell me you're shutting
and
my
then,
mic off.
No. I'm just saying the problem is you cannot continually wait 2 years and 2 years and 4 years and whatever you need to wait to gain that leverage. We need to
but
have
now,
a system. Wait, we need to have a system.
Did she just wait me? Fuck her.
Oh,
I
honey.
Will fucking cut
I'm
her.
I wait
her.
You all the time. We need to have a system in which whoever's in house can literally think logically and not think about lobbyists and what's bringing to their campaign financially. What they do is support the people.
But that's not the government that we currently have.
Correct.
That's not the structure
that we have.
And
that's why
we
need a third party because
right
now
we don't have. So what
we
have right now is a Democratic
and we're constantly fighting
House that will put this president in check. That's what we were always saying that needs to happen.
No. If you want to put this president in check, we need the Senate and the House. We can't just put him in check.
But we didn't get both, girl. We got the House. So what can we do with having the House?
We don't know yet.
We got the House.
Oh, we're going to get the Senate, too, because I have faith.
No.
Do you not have faith?
You can't get the Senate anymore.
Did you
well,
vote
I can
today?
Just say, I can just say what I'm watching right now on the TV. Bob Stefanowski is at 50%, and Ned Lamont is at 46%, and there's a lot of red. A lot of red.
And there's a lot of empty.
Across Connecticut. But yes, that hopefulness is that there is an emptiness.
The fact that New Haven looks red right now is bothering me, but we'll get back to that a little later.
There are a lot of people in this area that were Donald Trump supporters. It's a fact.
Yeah, I know.
And that's
I
something
one of those
that becomes
down.
Actually on this street. I think that almost every other house except two were all red ticket supporters.
They had Stefanowski signs
on my
outside.
Street alone, which that's why I was like, I'm not putting a sign up. I had some of my representatives.
Why not put a sign up?
Mm-mm, because that's only... Hello.
Bitch,
hello.
I have rainbows out back.
Yeah, that's fine. Rainbows is fine. Come at me for being gay. I will freaking destroy you. But you come at me for the the party that I represent. That's petty and bullshit, because I don't come to your yard and yell at you and say you're a fucking asshole because you supported Trump.
So you don't do that, right? But if you put a sign out there and you're supporting a candidate and somebody came to your door, mm-hmm. then you have a leg to stand on. You should be able to put something out there without fear. I mean, this is like the same thing we're talking about with
Trish.
I should have
been able to, but I didn't want to.
Because, yeah.
And that's all.
But why?
Because I didn't want to.
Why?
Because I don't want to put myself in a situation where now I have to argue with my neighbors. I'm new
and
here.
That's a terrible fucking shitty situation. You should be able to put out your... But here's the thing. You should be able to post something on your lawn and still have a relationship with your neighbor.
I should be able to, but I should also have the right to decide not to. And there's very few things that I won't argue you under a table about. One, my sexuality. If I'm gay, I will argue that shit until...
You are gay, by the way.
I know I'm gay.
And you said,
just as a reminder, if I am a gay man, I am willing to fight tooth and nail to protect my right to be who I am, my whole self. My political affiliations really is none of anybody's business. So I don't have to put them in front of anybody.
You are 100% correct.
Furthermore, you know me. I like things very nice.
And honestly, I'm going to put it out there for everybody. Getting a rainbow flag hung was like a conversation. It wasn't like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So putting something on my lawn, like a sign like that really doesn't go with the color like structure of what I like, tacky.
But you know what bothers me, though? Here's what bothers me. People like us, Democrats, we're nervous to put...
I'm not a Democrat.
I'm not... Liberals, Democrats, people that vote liberally.
But he voted Democrat.
Of course I did.
So you're
a Democrat.
I'm an independent.
He's an independent.
Oh, whatever.
But Bernie. Whatever. Those people are nervous to post things on their lawn because
you're right. I would have if I had my own home.
But like,
I would have posted.
But
for
you see
Ned
assholes
Lamont.
Fucking creating hate and nasty fucking stigma around the nation and posting positive shit about Trump and positive shit about the Republican Party on their lawn.
Of course.
And meanwhile, Democrats are like, no, because they're going to come at me. I'm like, bitch, come at me.
Because they get nervous. They do. They get nervous. Okay. Think about...
But why don't Trump supporters get nervous?
Because they don't get nervous. Because they feel that they're the strong ones. They're the
but
ones
they're not.
In power. Exactly. Well, I mean, they won. But when you look back to the 2016 election, tell me how many Hillary Clinton signs... Or how many?
She won the popular vote.
Right. Hold on. What I'm saying is, how many signs you saw on lawns or on bumpers saying "I'm with her" compared to the amount of "Make America Great Again" signs, Donald Trump signs, the Republican candidates, their choices are on the fucking front lawns. The Democrats don't put it out.
I agree.
All right. I'm going to need to make it absolutely clear that my decision to not put a campaign sign when my candidates asked me if I wanted to, I decided not to. One, because I don't want to get into an argument with my fellow neighbors. Not because I'm scared of what it is that my neighbors might do to me. It's because I'm scared of what I might be able to do to them. As you know, when I argue with people, it's happened on social media. It's happened in person. I never know what I'm going to say. I never know what I'm going to do, and I'm afraid of what I can actually do to someone. I'm in the middle of something.
The GOP has jumped up from its 50 threshold to 51, just to put it out there.
But we know they have control of the Senate.
Right, no, they've now moved to a 51 control.
That's okay.
All right. So
we have control of the
House. I want to go back to what Tom was talking about.
So
because
what I'm saying is, let me finish my thought because this one bam 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 in my ear and I'm like,
I mean,
oh my
like
God,
it was a news break. News alert.
I know.
Yeah.
Hello?
Welcome to Gay Talk. You new here?
Kinda.
I'm going to cut her. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is this. It's not out of fear of what someone can do to me or what someone is going to do to me. It's more fear of what I know I'm capable of doing to someone who gets in my face.
Right, and I get that. I get that 100%.
And also, I don't like putting stuff in front of my house. You know, like, we argue forever because you wanted me to put a gay flag in front of the house. I was like, I'm not doing that.
Here's the thing.
Not because I'm scared.
All right, I'm not going to try to start a fight with you right now, but here's the thing. You are more than willing to go on Facebook and start arguments and or conversations.
Yes, absolutely.
But when it comes to, because you're safe behind your computer or your phone.
It's not that.
Yes, it is.
No, it's because, not that.
Okay, then what is it?
Facebook is out there. It's in the streets. It's where it belongs. It's outside.
So you're safe behind your phone.
Here. No, this is my home. This is my sanctuary. I'm not going to start. I'm not going to start throwing and casting stones out of my house. Would bring problems to my house.
But
this
is where you come. Do you think
this
that
is where I come to be safe from the shit that happens in the world?
Do you think posting a sign for your governor or your potential Democratic Senate person that you want to vote in would cause that type of energy in this neighborhood?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're Trump supporters.
Yeah, your supporters... neighbors literally have signs on their lawn.
Yes.
And you have mentioned it to me, and I said, okay, well, they're assholes, and they've made their choice, and we've made our choice. But we didn't go over there and say anything to them.
Correct.
So why can't you promote for your candidate?
Because, again, I don't want to. And I don't have to.
I'm going to bring this back to a gay thing. So do you think because we are gay men that we have a level of insecurity wherein if I were to post something like that, there's not only the fact that I'm gay that I could be attacked for, but I'm a Democrat, so I could be attacked for that. Or I'm voting for somebody that my neighbor doesn't like, and I could be attacked for that. Well, and so my neighborhood then would not like me.
Well, that's possible. The reality is that
there are a lot of layers
here. A lot of things can happen for a lot of reasons. I am a type of person that when I'm home, I try to minimize the interactions or the negative interactions that could possibly happen.
Unless the neighbor's the other neighbor.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Because you just never know.
But hello.
So my thing is, I'm home, this is my sanctuary, and I'm going to do everything I can and minimize any opportunity possible to start an argument with any of my neighbors, because I just don't need that.
And I support that 100%, but at the same time, then I think, as a neighbor, clocking or mentioning the fact that they are posting opposing views is not appropriate. So if you're not going to post your opposing view, there's no reason to clock that or say that they have an opposing view.
Absolutely.
But they do. But they do have
cursive.
Okay, they do have an opposing view, but again, I don't ask them about it. I don't question them about it.
Do you have a relationship with them?
I speak to both my neighbors on either side and across the street. Well, I can't. Unfortunately, I can't do anything about the one across the street. She sort of kind of just like comes over whenever she wants. Says, hey, how are you? I've got some green peas for you. She brought me some mint.
It's real.
She brings me chocolate chip cookies. She's really nice. She's really amazing. And in an effort to try to, you know, because again, I just moved here. I just bought this house. I don't want to sit here and try.
It's been a year.
It's been a year. It's new. I don't want to have to sit here and try to work on relationships based on political affiliations rather than the fact that we have to sort of kind of live together.
But why should you try to? Why should you try to work on claiming relationships with your neighbors when you're here? This is your home,
and this is also like you are. And as an individual, Tommy, I'm going to boost your ego a little bit. So everybody, shut the fuck up. I'm sorry. You have always been one of the strongest people I've ever known. When you have an opinion, whether it's correct or it's not correct, you stand...
Most likely it's always correct, but... Go.
You stand by it. You stand by it, and you stand up for it.
Yes.
And so having this conversation is weird for me, and I think that's why I'm having this conversation with you, because for me, whether it's your neighbor or whether it's Joe Schmo that comes into the bar or works at the bar, you say your piece. You make your piece known.
I do.
And it surprises me that you're concerned about what a neighborhood would think about you.
I'm not concerned of what the name. Okay, I said this before.
It does sound like that.
Let me repeat it again. I'm not concerned, first of all, of what my neighbors think of me or what my neighbors may do to me. I am concerned of what I can do to somebody who will get in my face. The difference is that when I'm out there and I'm at the bar, I'm on a sidewalk, I will get in your face if you come at me and do something stupid.
But if somebody come at
because I am not in my home. This is my sanctuary, right? On the streets, I can rag you up and down a sidewalk and then come home and I'm okay. I'm in my sanctuary and I can just put it behind me and keep it moving.
But do you think if you put a poster out there about a Democratic candidate, you would get somebody that would actually come up in your face?
I don't think that that would happen, but there's a possibility given, given the temperament and the rhetoric that's going on.
You're right.
That it would happen.
But if somebody put a Trump fucking sign on the lawn, what would you do?
They've already done it.
Did you not do anything?
No, I just drive by it and just mind my business because
your
mother F them while you're driving by.
But like, yeah, so then take that for what I'm trying to say. You should put on your lawn, if you ever choose to, your statement, because honestly, that's your space. That's your lawn. And you know what? Everybody in this fucking neighborhood knows who you are and knows that you're a gay man, maybe or maybe not.
Possibly.
But they
that's also, again,
this conversation went left.
No. And this is good. And I need to have this conversation because I need you to understand that I am not putting a sign on my lawn because I'm scared of what people are going to do or say or have an opinion of me. I could care less. I don't put a sign up there, one, because I don't like it. It doesn't go with my house. And two, don't want that attention when I'm home. This is my sanctuary. This is where I come to have peace. And if that means that I sort of kind of have to just swallow the bullet and walk outside and smile at my neighbor and pretend that everything is okay, knowing that they're a Trump supporter, I'm just going to have to just do what I got to need to do to sort of kind of be at peace in my home.
You know, and I feel that.
And when I'm in the streets, forget it. That's a different story.
Personally, I probably... Sorry, Chris, go.
No, and that's something that I understand where you're coming from, but that's something I will do different when I'm a homeowner. Like, I will put it out there. Shut up. I will put it out there who I am supporting to show support, because there are so many people that are afraid to go out there to vote. Luckily, we saw it this year in our midterm elections, but I will make sure that when I have my own home, when I have my own property, I will put a sign out there to show who I proudly stand behind to reinforce the idea that there are others that are nervous about standing behind that same person or nervous about going to the polls. And I think it's so imperative to put signs out on your yard to show that you are standing there for voting rights candidate you believe in.
At the same time, too, like, what if there was, I'm sorry, like, I'm being abstract now, but, like, say there was a neighbor that had a gay kid and they weren't supportive of their gay kid, but they wanted to be supportive of a Democratic candidate that was supporting their rights. And they saw on your lawn that you were supporting a candidate that they knew supported the LGBTQ plus community. They knew that they may be able to come here and be like, hi, I'm nobody to you, but I need somebody to talk to.
Nick, have you seen me walk?
Oh, honey, we've all seen you walk.
This whole globe that I have around me and this tire around my stomach has a swish to it.
Oh, no, I know.
When I go up and down here, people know.
Oh, I know.
My neighbors know. It's obvious.
And like, I'm not a person to like publicize something like that either.
Did we
like,
not?
My parents were never like that either.
Did we not have the ultimate like gay get together on my street for the housewarming?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of your neighbors came over.
They did. Mm-hmm. Including one of the Trump supporters. He brought the wood. Mm.
But yeah, I know. Anyway,
no. So what
this
I'm
was a good
what
conversation.
What I'm trying to say is, listen, I love you and I thank you for your concern. But
it's not a concern. I'm just I'm trying to probe. I'm probing.
Well, you were concerned because it's a side of me that you've never seen, and I just want people to understand that.
But for the podcasting community that listens to our show, mm-hmm. Tom is very, very, very visible on social media, and also very vocal
in person, out and about,
in person, and on our show.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an element in which this is his space, yeah. And that's great. And unless I'm here
of,
and
I sort of kind of want to like, glitter. You know, beat Trump to the punch and build a wall around my house and say, this is where I don't want to bring any.
Wait, hold on. Did you just use a Trump reference?
Yeah,
we need to go to break.
Yeah, no.
We need to
drop
take a break.
That chair right there.
We need to take a break now.
I do want to throw out that Beto O'Rourke give was just speaking. Mm-hmm. He was giving his
oh my
concession
God, guys.
Speech.
I was watching him while you were talking to me, and he's so hot.
I kept looking back Tom. There, and I would like to hear myself, but you remember to look it up. And also, we are still learning results for the Connecticut gubernatorial races, where the margins
are
getting small.
But it looks so red. The states look so red right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, listen, guys.
Let's take a break.
We're going to take a break, and then we're going
to
come back. This segment went way too long.
Let's play some music this time. Why not?
No.
Why not?
This is just going to be a break. It's just going to because we're going to cut them in.
We're not going to play any music?
No.
When there's no one left but you.
Yes.
Who are you going to gun down? Our Trish almost forgot the words.
Oh my God. Let's play some Melissa.
This okay. Melissa. So
we're at 1 hour. Let's play some Melissa and then come back for the last half hour.
We'll close the episode with Melissa. How's that?
She's so nasty.
We'll
send it
she
home.
She picks
with
Melissa. On me. My cursive comes out. I'm like, I don't have to use big words today. I can get drunk.
Yeah. I'm proud. It's also.
Of you.
12 o'clock.
I know. Oh. All right. So that being said, we're going to come back for probably another 15 to 20 minute segment to close out the episode. But I did want to just point out a quick
Looks
contrast.
Looks like we're
going to
get a governor in Oregon. Did we already talk about this?
Yeah.
We already
Sorry. We did. So I just want to say that compared to our last disastrous election episode and where we ended with just complete heartache, today has been a little bittersweet, and it's amazing to see that, you know, we still have the opportunity to make change in this world. So that being said, we're going to break and we'll come back. Thank you for staying with us. All right, welcome back, guys. We are now into our fourth segment, and I have to tell you that we probably have one more after this, but we wanted to come back up and talk about a couple of stories that have been developing over the course of the night here on election night, November 6th. We are now into November 7th, right? Because it is 1:13 in the morning here on the East Coast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow, that time moved quickly.
It sure does. Time flies when you're on Prozac. Thank you for putting it in my drink. Delicious. So we have some amazing news that is coming out of Kentucky, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I was going.
We're going to prepare for a fuck her.
What do you. I love.
Oh, yes. Yes. I know what you're talking about. Okay. Okay. I was thinking somewhere else. Okay. We're good.
I love the way you're thinking. Okay. So. So interesting enough, you know that we've been following, well, not following, we had no choice but to sort of kind of condemn this woman because when we passed marriage equality in 2015, Kim Davis, who we call who?
Waffle House Kim.
Thank you, Christopher.
Nailing it.
I love it. She actually denied several couples.
Gay couples,
marriage licenses because she felt that it was against her religious beliefs and she felt.
Not your job, bitch.
Mm-hmm. She didn't need to do it, right?
But guess what? It's also not your job anymore.
So she got locked up for 5 days. And then, of course, you had people like Mike Huckabee and all these other individuals that came out in her defense, which really sort of kind of solidified her stupidity. But thankfully. They are reporting that she did lose her bid this time around, mm-hmm. and she lost her bid by well over 700 votes that were casted in Rowan County to someone who she ran against not too long ago during a primary, Okay, let me figure out how I'm going to say this. Think words, Tommy.
Okay.
She ran against this guy, and he lost to her by 22 votes, but this time he beat her by over 700 votes. So,
which is crazy.
She doesn't have a job anymore.
Good.
She's no longer the Rowan County clerk, so therefore she cannot continue to spew her hate based on religion.
The biggest problem is she should not have had a job.
She should have lost it after that point.
Exactly.
Because she was not she was not committing to do the work that she was put in office for.
That she made an oath to take care of. Yes,
right.
She wasn't.
So
she
made to Shaw's with you, it. To ShopRite with you, to Hobby Lobby. They'll
and
love
Kentucky
you there.
Fried Chicken. Goodbye. Yeah,
exactly.
So anyway, she was running against a candidate who also ran in conjunction with one of the individuals that actually got denied a marriage license. Individual himself lost. I can't remember what his name was, but God, please let me find it really quick. Okay, so last name, Ermold. That was the last name of the gentleman who was denied a license, who ran against her. He lost. This other individual lost. But now that he was running, Ermold, one of the people that got denied a license, refused to throw his support behind this Democrat that beat Kim Davis, Caudill, I believe is his last name.
Yep.
What is his full name?
Elwood. I literally said it earlier. Elwood Caudill Jr.
Okay, so now he won, and one of the other people that unfortunately didn't get the bid to become the Rowan County clerk did not want to support him because he claims that this individual who now won, a Democrat, was a homophobe. But you said you found a story and you were reading some information. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so we have he had some backlash originally ran.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not exactly I don't have all the info, but clearly there was something about LGBTQ+ that there was a backlash for. But there's a quote here that literally reads, "Freedom is freedom, the law is law, and your business is your business." And he goes on to talk about the fact that it's not his job to know what you're doing in your home. His job is to uphold the law.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, at the end of the day, especially in this county, in Kentucky, we have to hope and pray that he's going to do his job by upholding the law and not upholding his religious beliefs.
Right, exactly.
We're going to have to watch at this point, as I said to Christopher during our off-break time while we were trying to, you know, assimilate some of the information that was coming in. Actions speak louder than words, right?
And we'll keep a keen eye on that.
Absolutely. You know, and to me, it's just bittersweet because, you know, we've been really like harping on how can this woman get away with not abiding by the law, by the constitutional laws and protections that were afforded to the LGBT community with marriage equality. And here she is, you know, just, nope, I'm not going to do it. She got 5 days in jail and then she went on a tour. She even went overseas to Romania. Did
yes,
she not?
She did.
And what did she do there? She went there to spew more hate on a country that's really going through similarly the same thing that we went through here prior to 2015, which is people trying to stop people from just trying to love each other.
Right, and at the time it was a very heated debate in Romania to expel the idea of same-sex marriage, of marriage equality, and that's why she was brought over there.
I want to preface all of this with the fact that we don't really know this person, and we don't have enough information on this person to really speak to it.
Only what we're reading from some of the reports that are coming in.
And he had a really, he had a platform that he could literally grip onto and fucking run with, right? So, like, he had a platform where so many people were so angry at this one woman that he could, like, say, well, of course, we're going to support this community, and we're going to do it. So keep that in mind. Knowing that, thank God, she's gone, and I'm happy there is a new person in office, but keep in mind that, like, he had a platform to run on, and he didn't. He literally, in this article I'm reading, he mentioned our community several times, and I think that's important to note, because he's using it. He's using something that she used to put down. He's using it as a way to get on the platform and into that office. That being said, he said,
when I say I will faithfully execute the job of Rowan County Clerk and serve all citizens equally. Of course, that means LGBTQ plus citizens. I support every American's right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
And it's also important to note that I'm sure he's not going to be put into office until January. So it's how many people that Waffle House Kim will have the opportunity to put down.
Well, probably none, because now that people know there's a new sheriff in town, they're probably just going to wait till January.
So, but isn't that sad that it's they sad have that to wait off?
Well,
they have to wait off.
You know what I'm interested in is what is going to happen when the first gay couple walks into that office asking for a marriage license.
You know what I think I'm going to do? I'm going to find out the phone number for this guy at the Rowan County clerk's office in January at some point and call.
You're going to send him a dick pic, aren't you?
Probably.
All right. Let's have a rally in front of Waffle House Kim's house. Just like they did
for Mike Pence's.
Yeah, just like Mike Pence's. Exactly. Let's have a marriage outside of her home and show her what she failed to do. She failed to follow the laws of the Constitution of the United States.
That's not
the
only thing
she literally broke
at.
The law.
Exactly.
That's literally.
Which is why she was imprisoned.
Went on a goddamn tour. That bitch broke the law, and then she went on a goddamn tour.
Which is why they sent her to Romania.
Because you know what? This is not America that we know. This is not the actual America that we were grown up in and learned to love. This is Trump's America, and if we don't fucking do anything, hopefully this guy will, we're fucked. So you got people like Waffle House Kim that's got to go. Bye, bitch.
Be like, you're awesome. Let's send you to Romania. Like, fuck you.
I'm just saying, I'm pissed. I was like, I hope to God that this guy somebody in this county stands up and says,
I think it's going to take care of it. I think it's going to be a huge change for Rowan County. I think it's going to be
pissed, though. Like,
you know
what? How, as a fucking federal employee, do you get away with literally denying what the Supreme Court said?
Nick,
she
what? It's Kentucky.
I don't give a fuck.
They went against the words of the highest
Where
court
did you
in
she
the nation.
Did. She did.
Yes, she did. She went against not Kentucky.
And
she went
got
against
how long?
The words of the entire the largest court
the
of
Supreme
the United
court of the
States.
But she also had
the
support.
Bedrock
and
of
she
the
had,
United States.
That's the worst part.
But
she
also
had support
had
that
the
kept
support
her there. She had the support the that
Supreme,
kept her there.
And that is the scariest thing.
She had the support at the time of the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Kentucky, who ended up getting thrown out of the bench. You remember that?
Exactly. That's what
at
you
some
get
point.
For breaking
but
the
she,
law.
But this bitch had to be voted out instead of fired. Like, what the fuck?
You know what I'm curious
about? There's nothing
though?
More important than voting someone out for their wrongdoings.
That's amazing. But you know what's really... I'm curious, though. You know that her son also worked for the Rowan County office. I'm itching to, like... I would love to be a fly...
I hope to God that kid is not gay.
I would love to be a fly on the wall to see the dynamic between the new sheriff in town and her son, who probably still works there because he doesn't need to be elected to work there, right? He's an employee.
So can I just... I'm going to segue here.
Uh-huh.
Chris, pay attention to what's going on that TV, but I'm segueing. Because this is the perfect segue, I think it's important to note, this type of attitude, this Trump attitude, is what happens around the nation.
Stop. Wait a minute. We thought we were going to have some information on Abrams over in Georgia, but
no,
then...
No, we didn't. Just hit your there.
No.
I got it.
What? Oh.
All right. Continue.
All right. So here I am. What I'm trying to say is that we had our TV.
We have so many screens going around.
Yeah, there are three right now.
That
so
one is not even
on. I know.
What happened to that one? Anyway,
it's Fox. Continue.
Anyway, so let me get back to what I'm saying. So this election is so important,
mm-hmm.
as we've been saying for several months. But, like, for example, Waffle House Kim.
and denying people all these licenses. And like this administration who keeps putting down people and inciting hate. So I'm going to go into a story, guys. I'm doing
it. I love it. Go for it.
All right. So there today, literally released today, there was a student that threatened a bomb at his own high school to cleanse it of LGBTQ plus kids.
That's horrible.
And that happened because of the rhetoric that is being spewed right now from that White House. Mm-hmm. That White House. And if we don't flip that house that we currently have, we are going to continue to have this rhetoric, and we're going to continue to have an environment in which these kids...
Well, we did flip the house. Had we not flipped the house, that would have been dangerous.
Until it's set in stone, I'm not saying we flipped anything.
It's done.
It's flipped, but the danger is not avoided. We have these extremists.
No, you still have the rhetoric living in that White House. It's just that we have a little bit more resistance in places where they are more effective, where they make more meaningful pushback, right? Because the people can protest and do whatever they want, but really, those politicians in power are still the ones calling the shots.
But here's the thing, like,
right? They just have to sort of...
You can protest, and you can peacefully protest something, mm-hmm. but there's a difference between peacefully protesting something mm-hmm. and saying what your opinion is. And if you hate gay people, by all means, I will, you know...
Continue
take care
to
of you
hate
at a later
people,
date.
Do you?
But hate people. Live your life in a world of hate. That's your choice. But the fact is, this individual, Jonathan Logan Guy Radford, 18, literally threatened his high school, the Burns High School in Duncan, South Carolina, to cleanse all of the LGBTQ people in the school.
And this is...
Can I stop you guys for a minute? I'm reading some stuff that's coming in. The state of Colorado, Utah, and another state actually put on their ballot a provision to allow them to draw congressional districts by independent commissions, meaning that they would not be redistricted by the actual people who are in power, whether that's Republicans or Democrats. They would literally hire an independent commission to come in and redraw districts based on the data that they have. Three states announced that they were doing this, and they had this on the ballot. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Because currently, you do realize that a lot of the reasons that people are losing Senate seats and congressional seats is because all of the gerrymandering that took place by the Republican Party to fix these districts so that they would end up winning, having a more favorable outcome when it came to elections. But anyway, that's not what we were talking about. I just wanted to point that out there. They are talking about this out there. Utah did the same thing. Continue.
Right, so
sorry, I apologize.
Back to gay hate. I think it's important to note, the reason I keep bringing this up is because this administration has allowed this rhetoric to keep happening. So on Twitter, this individual released, "The ultimate cleansing of all anti-straight and non-Christians will happen today at 8:10 at James F. Burns High School." And a teacher found it and reported it, and that was great and whatever. But and he was taken care of and all of that stuff. His phone was taken away, and they looked into all of that stuff, and he was arrested. All that stuff. Great. But he also said, or there was also a private message from another student. "Like I said, I've seen you at Burns, and I also know you and your little group of friends are a part of an LGBT, and I hate the LGBT community, so I plan on bombing and shooting up your school today to cleanse everyone that's not straight or Christian." So it was like a mixture of things happening with this one instance of people. But it's just like, it's fucking crazy. I mean, like, you have, it's the day of the election, and you have kids like this threatening our community. It's batch it to me.
And well, it shows this is normal. Unfortunately, we have felt this here in Connecticut.
Yes.
When you look back to Sandy Hook.
That
well, I mean, Sandy
was a
Hook,
private message that one individual sent.
Well, when you think about Sandy Hook, this was, you know, a disturbed individual after children. It's completely different.
Of course. No, but I'm talking, okay, Sandy Hook, yes, that might have been a different instance. But when you look to the nationalist rise, like the movements of these nationalists, when you looked at the frequent bombs being dispersed,
or the fact that our president was the first president to actually address a hate group.
Absolutely, and almost
our sitting president.
Yeah, and almost in a sense endorse white nationalists. And you have just Jeff Sessions sitting there and saying that the KKK are not bad people until he found out that they smoke pot. But you see these... it's really what it is. And you see these frequents lately with the bombs being sent to top Democratic officials. You see synagogues
Of people that the president attacked verbally at a lot of rallies.
And who had attacked the president.
Well,
who had attacked the president.
They spoke strongly about the president.
It was in retaliation to their...
He was attacking them for being them. I mean, he's calling one Pocahontas. He's calling the other one a freaking hater and a stupid... I can't remember what it was.
Right, but Robert De Niro was no friend of the president from the beginning of his campaign.
No, he's been very vocal.
So he was also one who had a bomb sent to him. So when it's coming time now to where we're having bombs being sent to the utmost opposition of the president, we're having synagogues being gunned down because they are Semites, we are having white nationalists...
Wait, did we talk about... Sorry.
Hold on.
We are having white nationalists stand up. We are having Milo Yanukovych, or whatever, spewing his hate. We are having some 3,000 U.S. troops sent to the border.
Oh, my God, for the goddamn caravan.
Well, a caravan is approaching.
Well for the caravan. It's not a goddamn caravan. Their situation
it's for the caravan.
No, I didn't mean it negatively. I support the caravan.
I don't support the caravan coming to the United States border because Mexico already offered them asylum. So,
I think they're making a statement. I think a statement needs to be made.
Yeah, but the statement also has to be made that, no, you cannot come into this country illegally.
And
they're not trying to. They're trying to come here.
They're trying to come here and ask for asylum. There's a big difference.
It's not like they're going to come here and
come here and jump the imaginary wall that Trump has yet to build.
All right, well, there's still a wall there. There's still a fence that people break through daily, and that's not acceptable. That's not acceptable.
Listen.
No.
I'll tell you something. Whether it's acceptable or not.
We're walking down a weird road now.
Yeah. Whether it's acceptable or not.
It's not acceptable, regardless.
The fact that a human being wants to better themselves and is restricted by borders really sucks. It really does.
But do it. The legal way.
No, yeah,
just like everyone else wants.
Chris, you're 100% right, but I think what this group of people, what they're doing is, yeah, maybe Mexico has offered them asylum, but has America acknowledged that, or at least our administration? No, they keep slamming Mexico.
Yes, no, they have. Yes, they
keep slamming Mexico.
Yes, they have. No, the U.S. government and Donald Trump have said that Mexico has offered asylum for you.
I heard
this caravan. Yes.
I heard the news organizations say that.
No, the government knows that the Mexican government has offered them asylum.
But they don't want to stay in Mexico. They want to come to America.
Yeah, but we can't always take everyone.
No.
But we can process them.
Chris, you're 100% right. But there is a difference between not taking anybody or everybody.
Of course. I'm not about closed borders.
Actually, looking at what is wrong with our asylum system, our immigration system, and our administration, and actually fixing it, and that's what these people are doing. They're not going to get asylum. They're not going to get across the border.
No, they're not.
They know that.
Well, no,
but what they're doing is they're making a statement, and they're making the people in America be like, holy fuck.
Can I also point out that the reason why we're having a caravan of people coming all the way from the country they left is because the U.S. The U.S. perpetuated the situation that country finds itself in. They funded the government that's currently causing all these people to have all these hardships and move north and want to leave and be able to find a safe place for their children and for their families. Mm-hmm. That's also very important to know. Anyway, we need to get away from that topic because we need to have a conversation around something that we've been talking about for the past 2 weeks on our show. We're going to have a guest next Monday on the show that's going to be coming down. She's going to be featured as the transgender spotlight for the month of November because Transgender Awareness Week is coming. We like to celebrate Transgender Awareness Month, so everything all about the transgender community, who we love. It's a very integral and important part of our community. But we have amazing news from the state of Massachusetts. Nicholas, do you want to tell us what it is?
Of course I do.
So, well, why don't you tell us?
So Massachusetts upholds the transgender rights laws.
That's Yay! Right. They passed. That's correct.
I didn't know that.
So you remember that we were talking about Vote Yes on 3. We talked about that last night when we did our Monday night episode. We
and
talked about
it passed
the week before.
With a clear margin.
That's correct. We posted a video on our Facebook mm-hmm. page about being, was it manholes and not assholes or something like that?
Massholes, not assholes.
Massholes.
And it talks about.
I was a masshole for 5 years, so I know.
So
you still kind of hold it.
So this is amazing.
I can still sense it.
You know,
I can still sense it.
You're feeling it
now. I'm really eager to see what our guest next week, Allison Hale, is going to have to say about this. This is amazing. She lives in that state.
That's why we're bringing her on.
Well, not necessarily for this. We're bringing her on because she's our transgender spotlight guest for the month of November.
All right.
And Perfect. So, but now we have something substantial that's happening in real time that affects her directly and other Absolutely. Transgender members directly in that state. And we can actually talk to someone who experiences this every day.
And it's so great because this was put on the polls by popular demand. This was, you know,
was put on
for
ballot.
Excuse me.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I love you, Chris.
It was put on there for the popular vote. Like for people mm-hmm. in Massachusetts yep. to really rig in on being like, this is not endangering children in
or
the bathroom.
Anyone.
This is not leading to any discrimination. All it was if this was repealed, it would only open to discrimination.
Of course.
You
and
know
it
what?
Would force people in the transgender community to not be able to use the bathroom to which they identify as. Like, if you're a transgender woman and you wanted to use a woman's bathroom, unfortunately, if they would have repealed the law that they passed, that
you have to identify with your biological.
Right, but correct. Where does this go if the Trump administration is successful with changing the definition
so
of
that's
gender?
Funny that you bring that up. So there's a part of this story that I think the victory for transgender people all around the country is the latest sign that the Trump administration's attempt to discriminate against transgender Americans are completely out of step with
the
where
the
American public is. That's and right. I think that is what's so amazing about this article is that statement.
That is correct.
Trump is going after a people, and I hate to equate it, but like what they're doing is they're trying to scapegoat the transgender community so that they have an excuse when they will need an excuse. But at the end of the day, the American people are really like, no, fuck you. The excuse is you don't have an excuse. You're fucking everything up.
Mm-hmm.
So they're trying to marginalize a people right now, and they can't because the American people say, no.
Well, I mean,
and this is going to send a signal. Remember we said that Massachusetts is a state of many first? You know, they were
the first
to pass
marriage
equality. You know, you have laws on the books that protects transgender folks all over the state. And that sort of kind of trickles down. You know, you have neighboring states that sort of kind of stick on that and try to you know, be what they want to be. So if you are who you are and you feel and look the way you think you should be, you should be comfortable with yourself and you should be exactly who you are, and no one should tell you which bathroom you should use, because at the end of the day, whether the toilet is in the men's room or in the women's room, that's all you're going to the bathroom to do. Powder your nose, use the toilet, and call it a day. Right? So anyway, We're going to go take a break, if you guys don't mind. There's some developments that are happening. We want to sort of kind of watch what's happening and then come back and talk about it and disseminate it. And then, of course, close the show down.
Yeah, no. So, yep, this will be your last segment.
Yes, it will be. We'll be right back. And we are back for that very last little segment. I promise you this one will be short.
Thank God.
No, we just wanted to sort of kind of wrap up the entire evening. It is 2:04 in the morning on the East Coast. We've been at this
for a while.
Since like 9-ish, 9:30-ish.
Yeah, about 9.
Yeah. Going back and forth and doing all that good stuff. We're still drinking and eating.
No,
no.
And all that good stuff. But
Chris isn't.
So we've been watching, you know, our local race, our gubernatorial local race.
Gubernatorial.
That's such a weird word.
I love it. It's a Roman word.
Oh.
Fine. Gubernatorial. Say like you have a dick in your mouth. Okay. Got it.
Sounds about right.
So anyway, so we've been watching this race, Ned Lamont and Bob Stefanowski, Bob being the Republican and Ned being the Democratic candidate. And we still don't have a clear indicator as to who's going to do what.
Oh, my God. Bridgeport just went red.
Oh no! So, is this not looking good?
So anyway, guys, let's focus. Let's bring it all home. Let's. We'll probably need to take that offline and do all that good stuff. But anyway, I want to first of all thank
anyone. That's not happening tonight.
I want to thank anyone who once you start listening to this episode, I want to thank you for sticking through it and all the madness and all the craziness. But it's how we do elections. We get together, we cook, we do all that good stuff. During the last one, we were all depressed. During this one, I think that
there's more optimism here.
Oh my God, hold on, time out.
I'm going to be able to sleep better at night.
They keep saying apparent winner in Florida. I'm sorry.
Florida's done. DeSantis will be the governor of Florida. It's done.
It keeps getting closer.
He conceded.
Don't they just call him the winner instead of the apparent winner?
Well, because he conceded.
But what if he wins?
He conceded.
Nope.
He conceded. If you're running for
office... I don't understand the terms. It's not the projected winner. It's the apparent winner, but... He did concede to the race. So in that aspect, he's given up.
Where's my drink? Oh, my God. I'm gonna... All right. Listen, guys, let's bring this home. Do we have anything that we need to discuss on our notes regarding stories? No? Yes? No?
No.
No? All right. Well, listen. I want to, again.
I just want to say we took the fucking house.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. I'd be able to sleep at night a little better because we know that somehow we have some sort of, leverage.
Solace.
And some sort of say in our political process again.
That we now have a truly controlling check and balance system.
Yeah, in place.
We really do.
I agree.
Coming from an independent as myself, so happy for the Democrats.
Who caucuses with the Democrats, just like
absolutely,
Bernie.
Absolutely. All right. But we have a true check and balance system now going forward for this presidency.
Does everybody have the notes up?
I see. Here's the thing. I think you concede, you can still win. I don't think if you actually concede...
Nick, we're not going down this road.
Okay, fine.
It is way too late to start that debate all over again. But I love you.
I'm trying.
I know. His dip was bombed, though. I do have to say that. All right. Well, listen, we're bringing this home. If you love the show, as we always say on our show here, you can rate and review on your favorite podcasting service. This will help others know about the show. And the show becomes more visible within the podcasting community. By subscribing to our show, you get the latest and greatest delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as our episodes are published. This one will be published tomorrow because there's no way I'm doing this at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, God, no.
And you can also support us on Patreon, which allows you, our listeners, to support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. I cannot believe that I just said all of that without even slurring my words once, maybe, but damn, Christopher.
Don't worry, I'll make up for the cursive. So, next week, we are proud to welcome back to the show Allison Hale,
from Massachusetts. Of course, we kick off our Transgender Awareness Month, here's that cursive, with an amazing conversation with the lovely Allison Hale. We also have our house doctor, Dr. Evan Goldstein, for next week's installment of Tales from the Till.
That's going to be exciting. Oh, my God. So we're not only are we going to have someone in studio who we're interviewing to talk about
we're chatting, like a guest host.
Yeah, it's she's going to join the show. She's amazing. But we also have Dr. G.
Hello.
I love Dr. G. So, who doesn't? Right, Nicholas.
So, thank you to everyone who went out for the polls today. You got us the house back. Thank you, Chris. You're making me fuck it up. Because it does really matter. We flipped that house. Now, let's get him the fuck out of our house.
Two more years.
Hello.
Can I get a yavol?
Yavol!
Can I get claps for everyone who went out and voted today?
That includes you.
Yeah.
You. And me.
Yes, indeed. And all of us.
We're going to post
our pictures, our voting pictures on Instagram. Well, it's already posted on Instagram. Follow us at GateTalk20, right?
I'm proud of you.
And then we're going to post it on our Facebook page, too, which you can go to. It's at GateTalk20 on Facebook.
Instagram is GateTalk2.0.
GateTalk2.0. GateTalk20 on Facebook. And then you can like the page. You can get all those amazing little like extras as well. And that being said... Christopher.
So proud of you guys. Can we put a rubber on this episode?
Do you even have a rubber at this point?
I don't, but we'll improvise.
He has a makeshift fucking brace on his finger, okay?
That's right. So we're gonna rely on that to keep us all safe. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on... I can't do it.
On iTunes, Google Play Music,
and Stitcher Radio.
Nick announces you can find us on social media, Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0, Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0, Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom,
take it away.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. And if you need to reach out to us, you can do so by visiting our website, clicking on the Contact Us tab at the top of the web browser. By the way, just to let you know, we are currently working on a new website. So there's going to be a new look coming soon. Soon enough. But it's happening. So if you visit our website and don't see the current or usual look, know that it's on purpose and that we're working on restructuring the website. But you can also, if you need to, reach out to us via phone, where you can literally leave us a voice message. We can answer any questions that you may have by calling 334-GAY-TALK. Or if you need the numbers, it is 334-429-8255. What I meant to say was when you do click on the Contact Us tab on our website, let me go back. I skipped a whole little thing here. You can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast or an individual drunk host in our case today.
Please don't email me.
Because I'm going to have to respond to it.
That being said, don't forget that we do stream live our normal show streams live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's available on digitalstreamradio.com. That being said, ladies and gents, thank you for sticking with us through our crazy Election Day episode. Y'all have a good night.
We took the house.
Bye! Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.